This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Now, Mason, like any great literary work or even wedding speech, do you mind if I start this with a quote?
Oh, please, be my guest.
Okay, here
we
go.
My wedding guest? We're recording this at my wedding, folks. We've interrupted the ceremony because we got to get out this content.
Gotta do it.
Father, steady on.
So Steven Spielberg, director of this movie we're talking about today, ooh, Welcome to Caravan of Garbage, Please Leave a Like, he spoke to the New York Times about his sequels, specifically The Lost World, and this is what he had to say. Confidence is my enemy, and it always has been. My sequels aren't as good as my originals, because I go onto every sequel I've made, and I'm too confident. This movie made a gazillion dollars, which justifies the sequel. So I come in like, it's going to be a slam dunk, and I wind up, presumably to do a big slam dunk, Mason.
Sure.
And I wind up making an inferior movie to the one before. Now, he was talking specifically, no, not Indiana Jones 4, which is the only other series where he's tackled a sequel. He was talking specifically about The Lost World.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, how do you feel? Tell us and the guests of your wedding, how do you feel about
first
this?
First of all, I think it's very relatable that a man who is worth, as we recently learned, $3.7 billion, is still like, I don't really know what I'm doing. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Guys, Mr. Ramblin', I messed up. That's the mascot. He's built in the...
The bike? Like the whole thing, it's like one entity, the bike and the E.T. in the basket.
That's exactly right, yes.
So just like one terrifying creature.
Well, last week I made the very bold claim, of course, that I think all Jurassic Park / World movies are of roughly the same quality.
Yeah, having not seen this one or three.
Or the third one, and I can say with some confidence that you're right, I was wrong, this one is worse.
Okay.
It's got a lot of good stuff in it.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
But it's let down in some other ways. Chiefly amongst them, I think this movie initially began with a large action montage that sort of perhaps recapped the events of the previous movie and then set up all the various new characters and the old characters, what they're up to now and that kind of thing. And then they lost the footage and then they went, just get Hammond to tell Jeff Goldblum just everything that's happened in
what's
a room.
What's going on, yeah.
Just tell him.
Yeah. Yeah, you might be right. One thing I do think works for this movie is, it's very bloated, I feel. That doesn't work. That's a negative thing. You know, I feel like it feels excessive and drawn out, but not in a good way at times.
Sure.
But one thing I think does work is that it's not just, they've rebuilt Jurassic Park and now we're going back to Jurassic Park. I mean, they end up doing that movie, but the fact that they go, no, we're going to base this loosely on Michael Crichton's second novel, which also he was writing at the same time Spielberg was making this, and they were just both like, we'll just do different ideas. So there is some overlap, but it's not really based on
this
the
is
book.
Like the time Rob Grant and Doug Naylor from Red Dwarf.
This is an excellent example.
When their partnership broke up and they wrote separate books.
Backwards and back to Earth?
Maybe.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow.
And one was way better than the other one.
I've read both and you're right, but I can't remember which one.
For anybody out there who listens to our podcast and is looking for us to do a Red Dwarf episode, we just did it.
That was it.
That was it.
And you're welcome. You're
very welcome.
So how do you feel about there's very few returning characters, but obviously we've got Ian Malcolm. He's back. He's a little bit grizzled. He's cut the mullet. He's less like, I'm going to hit on every person I see.
He's cut the mullet in disgrace because he's blown the whistle on Jurassic Park and InGen, and they've smeared him in public.
You can't be a whistleblower with a mullet, you know?
Very true.
Look what happened to Julian Assange. They tore him to shreds.
Oh, no!
And I think it was the mullet,
Mason.
It was
the mullet, that's right.
Yeah, but I like the idea of like a grizzled guy. He's the only one that spoke out. Everyone else is just like, I'm just going to go back to dig up dinosaurs. I don't want to go on talk shows.
Where are his mates? Where are they? Do we see him later? Do we see bloody Ellie and
I'd hate to spoil it for you, Mason.
Oh, okay. And is he going to give him a big talking to?
I'd hope so. Mm. But yeah, no, so I like that idea of this is the guy who learnt a lesson despite being right, I guess.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. And I also enjoy that.
the lesson is toy with nature, but not lawyers, I guess.
I guess so, yeah. That one got eaten on the toilet, remember? Yeah. Yum, yum, yum.
Yeah.
So the idea behind this movie is there's a dinosaur preservation, which is Site B, where they actually bred all the dinosaurs for reals. They didn't do it in that one room that you could visit on a little ride.
They came from the island, and that's where you remember the guy gets...
I remember.
The truck, he's coming in the truck, he lifts the gate. Remember the thing?
I remember. The people who lifts the gate, you shouldn't have done that. He got eaten. What an idiot. Anyway, it's John Hammond's idea that... So he's turned into somewhat of a dinosaur preservationist for some reason. I guess because of all the people that have been eaten. And because he's an insane person, his idea is to protect the inhabitants of this island, the dinosaurs. Just get a bunch of photos and then show them to people and people will go, cool. And not like... Yeah, can we see those, please, up close?
Yeah.
Can we visit this island? As if people wouldn't visit the island or want the dinosaurs off the island. My first response to that would be, if I saw a photo of a real dinosaur confirmed to be real, I'd be like, I need to see that, please.
Yeah, but James, you're forgetting this was the mid-90s.
Yep.
Internet wasn't very good yet.
Mm-hmm.
Just looking at some photos was pretty good back then, if you recall.
It sure was, yeah.
Wow!
Yeah. Look at this one.
Whoa.
640 by 220. Incredible. Pretty stellar cast in this, even if some are underused. Vince Vaughn is in this, sort of.
Early period Vince Vaughn, where they didn't quite know what they wanted him to be.
No.
They just wanted him to be a star.
That's right.
He's just been anointed by Hollywood, and they're like, is he a nature preservationist photographer guy? Is he the titular psycho?
I was going to say.
Is he a big fat party crasher? Does he work for Google? No, they knew. They knew by then. He was a guy who would work for Google and crash a golf cart.
That's true. That's very much where he's at. But yeah, look, he's fine in this. Peter Stormare, always fun making an appearance. But a couple of people that I really love the inclusion of in this is Pete Postlethwaite.
The late, great Pete Postlethwaite.
Yes. So Steven Spielberg was quoted at the time as saying about him, he's the best actor in the world. And so this guy in this movie, and I don't know if you've known this, people at Mason's wedding. I nearly said funeral.
bloody we keep the bride bloody waiting too long. It might turn into a funeral, all right?
You got less for murder, don't you, Mason?
Yeah, hell yeah. Anyway, back to the content.
So he wants to hunt dinosaurs, specifically the male T-Rex, because he's a big game hunter and he's bored with regular hunting. There's actually a deleted scene where he gets in a little bar fight and
with a dinosaur?
No, with a regular man.
Okay.
And the reason is because, like, I've hunted if you went to my house, every creature's head is on the wall. I'm bored with hunting.
Apparently. Ladybug.
Every creature, Mason.
Wow.
Yeah. So, but the thing is, though, if you're bored with hunting, maybe you could try hunting, say, without a gun. Maybe you could go hand to hand. Maybe you could put, like, a billiard ball in a sock and try to kill a rhinoceros. Mm. You know what I mean? If you're bored, maybe don't use a big gun, you know?
Maybe you could try that thing where there's, like, the hoop and it's got the fabric on it and you put the thread through it and you draw a little picture, whatever that's called.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Crochet.
Probably crochet,
I nearly said crochery.
Might be crochery, George. Maybe try crochery, Pete Postlethwaite. But yeah, he wants to have sex with that T-Rex.
He probably does.
He wants to kill the male and he wants to bed the female, is what's happening there.
And it's interesting.
That's the subtext here. That's what I got from this guy.
I think he says it, doesn't he, at one
point?
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting also that when he gets what he wants at the end, the dinosaur sex, presumably, he's just like, I hate hunting, actually. This was scary. And I didn't like it.
Stressful.
And I quit, I think.
I'm going to go back to being an accountant.
I also, I like Julianne Moore as Sarah Harding. She's a person who knows a lot about dinosaurs, including how far they can smell. She's like, this dinosaur's nose has got the biggest nose and it can smell anything. Mm. And yet she wears a jacket covered in T-Rex infant blood, just running around in that, is she? What is wrong with you? Isn't this your job, idiot?
A lot of people's brains were turned off, I think, at various points in this movie. Right at the start, that little girl's like, are you some kind of bird? No. Even if you don't think it's a dinosaur, wouldn't you be like, this is some kind of lizard? Come on. Come on, little girl. Get out of here.
It's not a bird, is it?
No.
There's a bunch of new dinosaurs in this, including the Pachycephalosaurus, the big fire tuck one, as they mentioned. The Stegosaurus. There was huge demand for the Stegosaurus in the first one after it came out. Kids would harangue Steven Spielberg and be like, give us
hey,
your money.
Spielberg! Where's my Stego, you prick? You dog?
Well, it's just... Obviously, we were limited by time and budget, and we just felt like if we wanted to make...
Hey, Spielberg, give me $1 billion.
Okay. But, so yeah, he included them. Well, actually, the Triceratops from the first movie, in the book, that's actually a Stegosaurus. And also, we get the little compies, which were in the first movie as well, and they're the ones that actually end up killing John Hammond in the book. Now, these new dinosaurs, do they bring a new sense of awe and wonder, or you're like... I'm sick of seeing dinosaurs, actually. I'm bored with them.
You know what? I was a little bit bored, but then my love for dinosaurs was reignited by that one that's just a big battering ram. Well, that's just a big solid bone battering ram that's smashing over jeeps and stuff.
Pachycephalosaurus, Mason.
Yeah.
Knocks that dude clean through the car.
Yeah, he's fine.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Big fan. Now, what they've done this time, whenever you want to increase the stakes and increase the tension in a movie, Mason... You put in two T-Rexes as opposed to one T-Rex.
That's right, yeah.
We saw
that. Two and a half T-Rexes.
That's right.
Rexes.
We saw that in King Kong the movie, maybe. Mm. Was there two or three T-Rexes in that? It's not important. Also, there were V-Rexes. It's not important. But I think that sequence, though, of, you know, of them tearing apart the trailer, flipping cars off, and the trailer slowly like...
Flipping cars off?
Flipping cars off.
With their tiny little arms? Nice.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, but just seeing them crash through the trees, the trees are like waving. Sarah Harding, Julianne Moore, I don't know if it's her or a stunt double, she does a lot of really solid like falls in this. There's the moment where she hits the glass.
Mm.
Like that's a real stunt. There's the moment where the raptor like strikes her on the back and she does that like face slide.
Yeah.
She falls off a roof at one point, which is a really solid fall as well. Just good falling all around, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what you can do when you're young. You can fall and be like, I'm fine. I can't fall now. I'm not allowed to. I'll die.
Yeah, if we fell now, crowd would gather. That's how that works. Yeah, I mean, there was a great sense of tension in that trailer scene where it's hanging over the side of the cliff. A special shout outs to let's see, Richard Schiff as Eddie. Oh, they did my man Eddie dirty in this. He's the MVP of this movie.
I agree.
Just saving the whole team, and then they just tear him to shreds. Those T-Rexes, you know.
And then they're like, "What about Eddie?
He'd Eddie."
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad. And I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
When picking a commerce platform for your business, you got two choices. Oh, this piece of shit, mother... or... sales. I definitely prefer... don't you? Because that's a sound you'll hear when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that's supercharging your selling wherever you sell, online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Shopify is the best all-in-one commerce platform capable of handling your business's complexity no matter how big you grow. Step up to Shopify and harness the best converting checkout and the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. For example, Ruggable, Nyx, Magnolia, Cotton, and so many more. Now you're probably thinking, sure, but migrating is going to be a headache. The Shopify App Store has the migration apps that you need to migrate your products, orders, customers, and more from every e-commerce platform to Shopify. And maybe you're one of those people who are like, hey, don't put me in a box. I don't want to be in this box, either metaphorically or for real. Thankfully, Shopify never will, because with Shopify, you can control your brand and business from your storefront look to your back office operations. You know what's really annoying when you're checking out from an online store and you have to put in all your payment details and all sorts of numbers and letters and whatnot? Well, with the Shopify store, they actually remember my shipping address or your shipping address if you were using yours, plus the payment information. So say if I'm on the couch and my wallet is in the kitchen, I didn't even have to get up, which is my favorite thing. Stop leaving sales on the table, switch your business to Shopify and discover why millions trust Shopify as their all-in-one commerce platform to build, grow, and run their business. So sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/weeklyplanet, all lowercase. That's 1 month for just $1 at shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Cha-ching sound effect.
He is daddy. Yeah. I think somebody says that. Is that right?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I've certainly said it.
Yeah, I mean, also, looking at those three adults hold onto a slippery rope for that long, I'm like, not possible. You ever tried to actually climb a rope? It's really difficult, Mason.
Never, no.
Anyway, I've set up this rope for you.
All right, here we go. All right.
He's doing it. He's incredible, actually.
Hold my tuxedo jacket. Here we go.
I think another good sequence is in this, for the most part, I guess, though it does lose the impact when you're doing it the second time, is the raptors are back. Or a different pack of raptors. Mm-hmm. And when they're running through the tall grass, which actually a team started growing like a year before to get it to that height, which is pretty impressive.
That's real grass.
No, it's real grass, Mason.
My God.
And real grass, am I right, everybody?
Oh, mate. Not in the House of God, James.
No, absolutely not, yes.
No jokes about that in the House of God.
But seeing, you see people getting pulled under and then the tail flick up, I think that's a really cool visual.
Look, we've talked about the excitement of the dinosaurs.
Yes.
And the new dinosaurs and how thrilling they were.
Mm.
How did you feel about the look of the dinosaurs this time around? Because it's not as good.
No, I think...
there's more CG in this,
There is more CG, and I think a lot of this is, when it's filmed in the daytime, you can't hide a lot of it. So I think... like at the end when the T-Rex is stomping through the city. I think all of that looks really great because it's in the dark. But mostly anything here that's in broad daylight, including the Stegosaurus confrontation, is just kind of like...
it's a little washed out.
It does look a little washed out, yeah. But, you know, you got to also remember, Mason, and I need you to remember this, that it was 1997. I need you to remember that.
Man, I looked at so many pictures then.
Wow! I bet you did.
Dinosaurs!
Incredible! And, you know, I like that Malcolm having... not really dealt with raptors before, but you know, he's got an idea of how to kind
of... he probably heard a lot of boring stories about him on the helicopter ride home.
And the hooting and the hollering as he was lying down or whatever. You know, he has a confrontation with one and he's holding the door and he takes that tumble through the glass and there's one trying to break through the car window. I think that's pretty solid. But of course, the real MVP, The real MVP, Mason.
Yes, go on.
The real MVP of this movie is the gymnastics routine, which saves them all in the end.
Absolutely.
Now, people don't like this. They say, that's unrealistic. I don't like that.
I don't like what's happening in this dinosaur movie with these gymnastics. That's the most realistic part of this movie.
I agree. They would have had to do gymnastics for real. They
if the dinosaurs had learned gymnastics, maybe that would be a step too far.
Yeah, I mean, if you
Or a leap too far.
It's true. If you gave a raptor long enough in these movies, it could probably learn a gymnastics routine.
Sure, yeah.
But just in that moment, it was probably like, what the Swiss is this? What is happening? And then kick onto a thing. Mm. It's cheesy and whatever, but also kids watch these movies and they just want to see a girl kick a raptor onto a big spike. So there you go. Now, this ends a certain way, Mason, but go there was on. An original ending.
So how the version we saw ends is there's a little...
They show the island and all the dinosaurs are hanging out.
And the public discovers that the
they be real.
They be real.
Yeah. Mm. But the original ending for this was the main players in this were going to escape the island via hang gliders and then helicopters, right?
Okay. But so they were going to, leap off a hang glider in flight and land on a helicopter
presumably.
In flight?
But that's also while they were being attacked by pteranodons.
Oh.
Which is why I think the one at the end looks so good is because they probably modeled them for a sequence which they never used.
Yeah,
so they're like,
right.
Where can we put these in? I don't know at the end. Who cares? So that was replaced by the sequence in the city because initially Steven Spielberg wanted to save the San Diego sequence for a third movie. However, he was like, I hate making this and I don't want to make another one of these. But I've got a quote here that's something like, I beat myself up growing more and more impatient with myself. It made me wistful about doing a talking picture because sometimes I got the feeling I was just making this big silent raw movie. I found myself saying, is this all there is? It's not enough for me.
Yeah, for sure. We all feel
so like. He was like, I don't know, we'll put in the sequence in the city or whatever. And I think, look, it's the best version of Godzilla 1998 we've ever seen.
Absolutely, yeah.
I think it's a lot of fun, genuinely. And, you know, seeing the boat, you know, roll in, as boats do, like tear up that deck for real, and then watch the T-Rex escape and just have a bit of fun in the city, you know? I like all of that.
I did like the part where one of the T-Rexes sneaks up really quietly on that lawyer at the end.
Oh!
It's like doing a little tiptoe.
You, bloop, bloop, bloop. You love comeuppance,
bloop,
don't you?
Bloop, bloop. Absolutely, yeah.
Big nerd comeuppance.
Oh, yeah.
He thought he knew better.
That's right.
But it turns out he didn't know that much in
the
end, did he?
What a the worst kind of nerd.
Yeah, so you know how, though, it's odd because when that boat comes in, the T-Rex is trapped. There's dead people everywhere, including like severed hands in places there shouldn't be, considering the T-Rex is like trapped inside.
Right, right.
So initially it was supposed to be there were velociraptors on that boat as well.
Ah.
But I think then it's like, well, then you got to deal with that. Mm. And then you got to deal with the T-Rex. So I think for the sake of simplicity, they went, we'll just do the
Let's
big
say that the velociraptors killed some of the crew and then they got off on a lifeboat. And they formed a new society on that island over there.
That's right.
That's right, Gilligan's Island.
Wow.
Come on, everyone.
That's too specific, isn't it?
No.
Do you reckon this will stay in when we do the theme song to Ship to Shore? Do you think that'll stay
in?
Yeah,
that'll stay in.
Okay, it's in. I've left it in.
Great, terrific. Yeah. People love a local reference.
Ben and Lawrence love watching all 180 episodes of Australian TV series from the 90s, Ship to Shore.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think it's, before we do green trivia.
Mm-hmm, sure.
It's interesting that the end John Hammond is just like, namaste, everybody. Step aside and trust in nature. Life finds a way. Does he think he's just avoiding legal confrontations?
No, I think he just repeats that as a mantra because he's gone mad.
He didn't even say it initially, you know? He's using other people's lines because now Ian Malcolm is going to be like...
You think he's musking this, is what you're...
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Do you think he purchased the rights to say life finds a way
I don't think he purchased them. I think he just did it.
Oh, no!
That's what billionaires do, Mason.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway, it's time for green trivia.
Okay.
Got some fascinating stuff here.
I have one piece of green trivia, if I may. I'm just looking at the Lost World Wikipedia page, and it just says here, Pete Postlethwaite as Roland Tembo, a big game hunter who adheres to his own strict moral code.
Whoa.
And then a little bit later, it says Harvey Jason as AJ Sidhu, hunting partner and Roland Tembo's best friend.
That's nice.
Isn't it nice?
It's good to have a best friend.
Nice. Do they say specifically we're best friends in this?
I think they do.
That's
great. There's a moment where they're being chased by dinosaurs and they stop and they're like,
Tell you what, if there's anybody I want to be chased by dinosaurs, it's you, Peter Postlethwaite. You're my best mate. I love you so much, but just as mates, because it's the 90s. We can't be anything more than that. I'm sorry.
Oh, my legs. My legs are gone.
Anyway, it's time for more green trivia.
I love it.
So Julianne Moore admitted that she did this movie to pay off a divorce settlement.
Oh, no.
And also to work with Steven Spielberg.
Those two things. Just to be clear, Steven, I'd love to be here. It's just an absolute honour to work with a legend of the industry, but also I'm...
Give me my money.
Yeah, I need divorce money.
Hey, Spielberg, give me my money.
What's more divorce money, Spielberg? You want some of this?
So, yeah, she went up for Ali, actually, in the previous movie. Now, you might have noticed when we visited a Blockbuster video store, Mason, during this movie.
Mm, sure.
During the big T-Rex attack. So there's a couple of made-up posters there for fictional movies
that
exist in this universe. There's Robin Williams' Jack and the Beanstalks, presumably a spin, like a play on Hook. There's Arnold Schwarzenegger's King Lear and Tom Hanks in Tsunami Surprise. So that's fun.
Love it. Oh.
You can see all of those.
See, in the modern day, they would not dare to put those in.
You don't
because
think so?
People would demand that those movies actually get made.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and those three superstar celebrities would never get a moment's peace again for the rest of their lives. And every interview they ever did would be like, what are you going to do, Tsunami Surprise?
What are you going to play King Lear?
And Tom Hanks would be like, shut up! Shut up! Shut up!
I'm mean, actually. I'm mean not nice.
Now. I used to be nice, but then this ruined my life.
I'll
get you for this, Spielberg. Give me your money. Give me all your money.
I don't know. It's amazing Spielberg's got any money.
Right?
Just constantly being hit up for money.
Mm-hmm.
The working title, actually, this is fine. You like this. The working title for the original Star Wars was actually Blue Harvest.
That's incredible. I love that.
Right? It's really good, yeah. A lot of people don't know that.
Mm.
And it's good to bring that information forward to everybody. Now, in terms of box office, this had a slightly higher budget of $73 million, and it also had a bigger opening weekend than the first Jurassic Park. Word of mouth, people are excited because Spielberg hadn't made a movie in 4 years. He did Schindler's List and Jurassic Park in the 1 year, and then went, I think I hate movies, so he quit for a bit. I needed a break, but this ended up making $618 million worldwide, which is significantly less. It's not a bomb by any stretch, but much less than the first Jurassic Park. And I think maybe the word of mouth was just like, yeah, it's pretty good.
It's pretty alright.
I mean, yeah.
You want to see more big dinosaurs that look pretty good?
Yeah.
Watch this, I guess.
People probably saw the episode of Sliders where there was dinosaurs and went, that's enough dinosaurs, thank you very much. That's the perfect dinosaur tale, and I will not have any more dinosaurs.
Thank you very much. I'm full to the brim of dinosaurs right now.
So, yeah. I don't know. It's all right.
It's all right.
It's definitely not the worst Jurassic World Park sequel.
I mean, so far it is. As far as I'm concerned,
for you,
it's
yes.
the worst one I've seen.
Really? Okay.
I don't know. I have to rewatch. Have to rewatch the new ones, you know.
But of course, we're going to come back next week to talk about Jurassic Park 3. It's a bit of contention on
now,
this
is the one where they go back in time to feudal Japan, right?
That's exactly that's right. Yeah, it's really exciting. Can
a T-Rex stand up against the beautifully forged katana?
Yes.
Nice.
I would say so. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to revisiting that one because there's a bit of contention in that. I think it's pretty lean in terms of like a movie experience.
Yeah.
But I think that's also might be one of its faults. Anyways, we'll talk about it next week on Caravan of Garbage. But maybe you want to see these early, Mason.
Maybe
you do. You can actually head over to bigsandwich.co if you do. And if you do want to sign up, it's like our private Patreon. There's early videos, including Caravan of Garbage. We do a bunch of bonus podcasts there and movie commentaries. All of that is exclusive. There's a huge back catalogue. And we have a podcast called The Weekly Planet where we talk movies and comics and TV shows. Comes out every Monday. Of course, we're going to have an episode on the new Jurassic World movie, whatever that is called.
Mm.
I've just seen a big amber poster and I went, ooh, that's something I recognise. And I'm ready to sink my teeth in. Pardon the pun. To something Jurassic time.
Terrific.
Yeah. Mm. And leave your thoughts on this movie, I guess.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now play us out, church lady. See, I'm still getting married in this.
So it's part of the bit. It's not a bit, though. This is actually
this
happening.
This is actually happening. Yeah.
Incredible. What a beautiful day.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. All right, goodbye.
Yeah, grab that jam, you guys. We'll see you next week.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.